This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Mercedes, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much. I still have my tan, so that means summer's still here, right?
Summer is still here, and we are in the summer. The last time we put out an episode was a few weeks ago, and you have since picked up golf and a selection of other things. And
I wanted to check in. Rollerblading.
I think I saw that, and you're doing some stuff. So you're staying active and doing it. This is it for the Travelcast this episode. First and foremost, I have to say, I want to thank you very, very much for giving me your time to do this, because I thought I just wanted to change it up from what I was doing before, have a great co-host and somebody that can bounce off me. And I thought you were great, and I couldn't been happier to have you along for the ride. So thank you so much for all the time and helping me build this cast out. It was great.
Well, thank you for thinking of me. I've had a blast. Listened to a lot of, met. I don't know. Do you meet on a podcast?
You meet on Zoom. When we started, you know, this is how fast the internet has come. No one knew about Zoom in 2019.
Yeah, exactly.
So we were bouncing around through Zencaster and all these things and CleanFeed and shits in, like, we're in and out. And almost everything we've done was, early. And we've been in, obviously with the world shutting down a bit, no one's particularly thinking about travel. So it's been a little bit more difficult to have that weekly flow, because for a while there, people were like, don't talk to me about travel. I can't go anywhere. I'm stuck in my house.
I know everyone wants to travel, but we're stuck. But no, I've met a lot of cool people on these episodes, which has been very fun. And I've asked stupid questions, but I feel like anyone would have asked those questions because they didn't know the answers.
And then you've launched your own, which anyone listening right now, you must go and listen. It's one of the best sounding podcasts. It's fantastic. You've done a great job. Might be that.
Thank you.
Your cadence on the mic and that fabulous gear you've got there. You're doing great. And I couldn't be happier with how it's going for you, because I think it's just going to go.
I'm excited.
You're getting some great guests dropping in with Mercedes, available with Mercedes on the Dean Blundell Network as well. It's in Cyberland. It's amazing. What do you think of podcasting? Outside of the 10 that we've done plus this, your thing.
I freaking love it. I get to ask all the questions that I want to ask anyone. And
sure,
it's at my fingertips. It's very, very cool. Good collabs on mine with some DJs I have in town, and obviously my mom helps with the intro. Mm-hmm. And it's editing. I didn't think I would like editing, but
you've had to learn how to edit on GarageBand.
Yeah, right? I'm digging it.
And so this will be the informative podcast series for the next 1.5 minutes. How did you learn how to edit on GarageBand?
COVID hit, right? I was like, okay, game on. You really got to get this podcast going. It's coming up on a year since Brent and Dean asked you to do this. Giddy up. And I had the time. I got laid off from my job, and I went on to the library and went on to this free resource, which is lynda.com, and literally did a course in GarageBand podcast making.
Sure. And you sound amazing. Like, I mean, Zoom gives us this, like, we're both on Zoom H6s, not that they've paid us any promotion for this or acknowledge the $8,000 that we've given them in business over the last, because everyone we're talking to is get the Zoom H6. But it's been a big help. And you went right to that on the gear wise. And I'm not boring the listeners with gear talk, but I really need you guys to understand that when we talked to Mercedes about it, about doing your own podcast, it was like, I'm just some schmuck in a basement in Cloverdale, mm-hmm. but you've traveled the world as you know, for Team Canada, and you have access to some incredible people like I do in my profession, mm-hmm. but yours, I'm like, why aren't you talking to people? Because you would have a super informative podcast, and this is what's happened. Your podcast sounds fantastic.
Thank you. Well, I owe it to you.
To your point about questions, yeah. You get to ask all the questions. So imagine being with that person in a bar and you sit there and go, and then what? And then what?
Yeah.
And then what? Totally. And they would go, move away from me. And you're super annoying. But on a podcast, they go, ask me anything. Ask. I want to talk. So it really gives you a thing to do. And man, I'm so happy for you. I think you've done great.
I'm stoked. Yeah. Thank you for being the guinea pig on all the gear. I just went straight to the top.
We went right to it. That's right. I mean, why are we messing around? Travel for us. We've had some great guests at this point, including this week's guest. But just a quick rundown of what we've done. Obviously, you came on to chat about your world. We had Paul Feinstein from the Paulcast, who's on the Dean Blundell Network, to a few times to give us his take on pre-COVID and post-COVID travel, which was awesome. We had Sean Mathias, former NHLer, to talk about travel as an NHL player. We had Sarah Ayres speaking of the NHL, whose husband had won the feel-good story of the year with the NHL beating the Toronto Maple Leafs. That seems like 8 years ago. And it was only like a couple, just before Christmas. we had Addie Bell on from Jet Set Travel to talk about luxury travel, even though no one is traveling luxurious right now, other than the people that
she
can afford.
Is right now. She is now. I follow her Instagram. I'm like, I want to be where you are.
That's right. She is doing that. And that was a blast to have her. Then we did the future of travel with Paul, and now we have Ray Zahab, who we tried desperately to have on. Well, we had on User Error, speaking of Zencastr and other things. Not blaming them, I'm blaming my own inability to hit a button. But we lost the audio from our first attempt.
Yeah, but we were in the YVR airport.
You were flying away. It was loud, and you were flying away, and we lost it. And he was planning travel to Antarctica. He had a whole thing planned to run 5,000 kilometers in this coming October, which has been moved. So some things had changed in his world, which actually helped us, with this episode, because we were able to kind of revisit what he was wanting to do and how he's had to pivot. So there's your word, the pivot.
The pivot.
but it was fun. Ray's great. You know, he's a really good interview. He loves to tell a tale about being a world traveler and adventure. What did you take away from this?
I mean, he just has stories for days, and they're not just like, oh, this one time I was at my house. It's like, oh, this one time I was in the Arctic. I was in the Southern Hemisphere. I was in the desert. You're just like, dude, where have you not been?
The one thing that we didn't get to, because I just think there's so much more to tell, and I think that he would be a great guest on my next series and also yours. So I'm sure we could go and do another hour with them each on that side. I haven't asked him about any adventure stories as far as being chased by wild animals and almost killed, because he's been in some wild animal almost killed places, and I was
solo.
And I was weird.
But he
had these kind of play. It was amazing to kind of see where he's been, the Sahara and Everest. And oh my God, everywhere.
Death Valley. I don't know. He chooses interesting places. We could ask him millions of questions.
There's a lot. And I was contemplating breaking it up into a couple of episodes, but we let it flow, and I want to save some. You know what I mean? I think that we did 45 minutes with them, and it was informative, and we covered off a bunch of stuff, and I think it was a great way to end the travel series. When he was supposed to be at the beginning of the travel series, but it was just kind of the way it went, to kind of add this travel, to end it with this.
If you're not first, you're last.
If you're not first, you're last. That's right. And there's nothing wrong with that as far as how we're ending it, which is really, really cool. Takeaways from what do you think you learned over these episodes between Sarah, Sean, and the NHL, like all these other things? What's your kind of takeaway from this? Did you find yourself educated on the travel side from this?
Yeah, because I asked really great questions.
I know. I mean, you're the only journalist. You're the only journalist in the room. You've done this for a living.
Yeah, like so many different takeaways, obviously, ex-NHL player living the life of luxury on the road.
Totally.
I won't forget that.
Did you write a letter, did you write a letter to Team Canada after that and say, hey, listen.
No, it's not Team Canada. They treat us well, but not as well as the, like, NHL stars.
That's what I'm saying. You should have wrote to somebody sitting in a chair somewhere that makes these decisions and said, listen, I just did a thing with an NHL guy. And these guys,
right?
What the hell is going on? You
know? I don't know. And then I just, it's been super interesting also following them all on social media and seeing what they're up to now, especially in the COVID times, and just learning how everyone's adapting to it all and how excited everyone is to travel at some point in time.
Yeah. Well, we all are getting excited for that. So I'm just standing by and pivoting myself and getting through it, but trying to put out episodes. Mercedes.
How many times can we use the word pivot?
Well, we used it 17 times in the cast with Ray, so we're going to add it 4 more times. But you've got your own word. So that one's mine.
Jive.
You're jiving. Jive. Mercedes Nickel, my good friend, longtime Whistler buddy, and one of my favorite people in the whole world, and I can't leave this without just saying on behalf of all of us here with your story and how you've come back, and you're an inspiration for loads of people around the world, and more people need to pay attention to your story about the comeback. To have these episodes with you is a great honor for me. And I'm so happy that you're doing so great with yours. So tell people where they can read more about you, and then where they can get to the,
if you haven't heard my story, you can listen to it on Dropping In, a podcast with Mercedes Nickel, episode 1. You can find me online at Mercedes Nickel, NICOLL, Mercedes spelt like the car, not the nickel, NICOLL people.
Awesome. This is the final Travelcast episode with my co-host Mercedes Nickel and our guest Ray Zahab. Here we go.
You're listening to the Britain on Tour Travelcast with special co-host and four-time Olympian Mercedes Nickel. Yeah! Brought to you by people who travel, people who love to travel, and all things travel.
At $2 and a Casio.
After 2 podcasts, you're probably getting a better idea who he is, but his co-host Mercedes is way cooler than him any day.
That might not be what you want to hear.
Damn! So keep packing your oversized carry-on, stop clapping and standing when the plane lands.
Stupid idiots!
And direct your attention to your Travelcast cruise directors.
Now here then. Prepare to blast off.
Ready to blast off.
Knife switch. Main switch on.
Main switch on.
Here's Mercedes and BD.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Brenton on Tour Travelcast with my very special co-host, Mercedes Nickel. We are back. How are you?
I'm good.
Been on the golf course, rocking. We are joined for a second time, but first time, technically, second time with Ray Zahab, our gentleman, Canadian adventurer and ultra distance runner, is here to share his tale with us, which we tried to do in 2019.
Before the COVID.
Pre-COVID.
Everything's like PC pre-COVID, or I guess it would be PC pre-COVID, post-COVID, or you could post-COVID. Do BC. You could do before COVID.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. Anyhow.
It's a weird one. Mercedes, give me a little more, take your up to about an 8 or a 9 on your Zoom there. Thanks, friend. So, look at that. Now we're in the same room. Ray, so we tried, have you be as the third, episode, for the travel cast, and, foiled by technology, and then the world shut down. So we thought we'd try again when we're actually going to wrap up the travel cast with you. So, welcome. And welcome back. And why don't you say hello to our listeners and tell us a little bit about what's up, buddy? What have you been up to?
Well, thank you so much for doing this again and for reconnecting. It's great to be back on with you guys. And wow, I mean, so much has changed since we were last on. And so I basically for your listeners, I'm an adventurer, an explorer. That's what I do full time. And so typically when people hear that, they automatically assume I must be an alpinist or like an ocean rower or something. But I'm actually an ultra distance runner and trekker. So I cover geographies on the planet, vast geographies using my feet. And so I've ran, for example, I ran 7,500 kilometers across the Sahara. I've trekked unsupported to the South Pole, numerous Arctic expeditions without any outside help, being totally self-contained with all of my gear with me. And I've ran across many of the large deserts on the planet. So that's kind of like what I do. And then what I'm passionate about is my foundation, Impossible to Possible, in which I take young people on expeditions of their own all over the world that are learning based, and they are 100% free. Those are the two main things. But I think since the last time I spoke with you guys, I've been also guiding quite a bit, which has been really interesting, but we can get into that later on. So
do you take grown adults?
I do. I know.
Because I went out for my first 10 kilometer run in 4 months, and that wasn't 5,000 kilometers. Mercedes, what have you been doing?
Not that much. I just, my jaw drops every time he says everything that he's done. And I'm like, I don't think I've done enough. What have I been doing?
Olympics golfing? Isn't enough. Like, I know. It's crazy. It's come on. Hey, yeah, have you seen the movie? Have you seen the movie Strife? Have you seen that movie? I'm probably pronouncing it the wrong way. You have to, I know totally snowboarding is your thing, but I mean, you'll appreciate because you're such an epic mountain person, is this movie. It's a Red Bull. It's on Red Bull TV. It's a movie about this race on the downhill World Cup circuit, which is like the most gnarly of all the races.
In Kitzbühel.
And it's the story. Yes, that's the one. Yeah. And it's the story.
I watched that this year.
Comparing it. It's crazy.
I haven't watched the video, but I watched the race live this year in person.
Oh, you were in person.
Totally. Yeah,
wow,
yeah.
That's really cool. That's
and then cool. I was like, I think we should try and like snowboard down it. And my cousin was like, no, it's bulletproof ice and really steep. You're just going to go down on your butt. And I was like, kind of keen. And anyway, I got shut down.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you did it.
No, I got to totally go back.
Could.
I totally want to.
You could do it. If anybody could, you'd be the person to do it.
I do want to film it. And like, I'm pretty sure I'd be on my butt the whole time. It's like so icy. You'd need the sharpest edges ever. I do want to watch that video though.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool.
Ray, you were last time we were together, you were planning for an expedition to the Arctic. And Mercedes, you were headed to Switzerland back when people could do things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you both made it, right? You made it to Switzerland, and you made it to the Arctic? Yeah.
I did. I was in the Arctic, and then I was in Siberia literally right after guiding clients on Lake Baikal. And when I got home like basically February 28th. So do the math, right? Like that's when things really started to get gnarly with COVID. And it was incredible on my way over there, flying through South Korea. When we landed in Irkutsk, Siberia, like South Korea had the airport basically in lockdown almost, right? Like, I mean, it was full on there, but what was so interesting, in Irkutsk, I'm not sure the population, maybe 300,000 people, they boarded the plane and took everyone's temperature before you could get off the plane.
Wow.
And this was February 14th.
Valentine's Day, temperature
How crazy
check.
Is that? Right? I mean, but it's like, it just was like, boom, all of a sudden, there we were.
Wow. All of a sudden, the world shut down. That was it.
Yeah.
That was it.
So then what? Did you head back to Ottawa from there?
I did. So I was guiding for a week on Lake Baikal. And amazing people, extraordinary time, super duper remote, right? Like, I mean, totally disconnected, only satellite. So we didn't really know what was going on. So we were a bit apprehensive, like, were we going to get back out of Russia, right, on the way out? Like, nobody was talking about, closing borders and whatnot, but still you don't know where these things are going to go. Right. And then, so by the time I got home, part of my team went back to Italy. They immediately were in lockdown. And then by the time I flew back to Canada, I live in Chelsea, Quebec. So I'm very close to Ottawa, about an hour and a half from Montreal. And you know, the COVID situation in Quebec was crazy. Right. And so then my daughters were out of school. Now, let me think about this. I think the first week of March, they were off for March break. So I got home February 28th. First week of March, they're on March break, and they never went back. Or if they went back, it was a very short period, you know, if I remember right.
My kids start tomorrow. They've had the longest March break in the history of March breaks. They start tomorrow.
Yeah, mine have gone back. Mine have gone back. But you know what? I'm like a bit freaked out about it, right? Because
a lot of parents are.
I'm worried for them. Yeah. You know?
My girls, I'm worried for the teachers. Mine
are absolutely. I'm worried for everybody. You know, obviously, but you know, just from a immediately at home situation for the kids that are there. You know, there's this myth that it doesn't affect kids. Well, yeah, okay, maybe it doesn't affect kids as bad, but there are kids statistically that do get super sick, right? And you know, perish from this. And so, I don't want to be in that group, you know, it's terrifying.
No, it's
terrifying to think about, you know.
It's going to be interesting 2 weeks for sure. Like the first 2 weeks of school, it's going to be very interesting.
Just in general, I think the teachers aren't ready anyways, but regardless, we'll see how it goes. It's a kerfuffle. Sorry, go ahead, Mercedes.
Yeah.
Have you been traveling at all since you got home?
Who, me?
Yeah,
I will in Quebec. So, you know, both my daughters, they're 12 and 9. They are the 12-year-old's an amazing flat water paddler. So she paddles quite a bit. They trail run a ton. And so we went fast packing in Charlevoix, which is the mountains east, northeast, if you will, of Quebec City.
I have two questions. What is flat paddling? Yeah. What is flat water paddling?
So K1, you know, like Adam Vancouver style.
Like a kayak.
Yeah. So they kayak and they run kayak in the summer. Those are two things they do. So we were like, you know, so we went fast packing, which means it's like hiking, but taking gear that's super light.
You read my mind. That was my second question.
Right. And so I thought you were combining both words into like flat packing. I thought, yeah, so that's a totally new thing. Like that's a new sport that I've never heard of, but I'm digging it because it sounds like it would be a lot of fun.
It is now. You're welcome.
but thank you. But so we went hiking around the mountains in Charlevoix, and like we took, you know, our gear and our food, and it was awesome. It was just great to get away with our girls in like a COVID friendly adventure in the mountains of Quebec in our backyard. Right. And that's the amazing thing. I mean, there's so much that I think people are really okay. Obviously COVID is a horrendous thing. People are dying. People are sick. People are losing their jobs. There's like all my business is completely shut down, went from income last year to zero income this year, basically. Right. But there's been a lot of upsides and, you know, not upsides, but there's been moments, right, that you can't deny are, or can be awesome. And it's like, for me personally, it's very relative to us as individuals, right? But spending time with my daughters, more time, you know, on adventures, doing our own thing. I mean, that's been amazing. We actually spent way more time together than ever. Cause my job usually takes me away a lot. Like you guys, I travel a lot, right?
So I've never been home. I haven't been home this much in 15 years.
Right. But I think people are reconnecting in their relationships and their personal relationships with people, friends. There's more value in friendships, you know, and in that human connection also, I think. And you know what? We're rediscovering how friggin' incredible this country is. I mean, there's so much to do in every province, right?
So our province has been a joy to be in through this, I have to tell you. Just because, you know, we have the ocean within, I have the ocean. Mercedes is an hour from the ocean. We have mountains, but I got an ocean like about, you know, 20 minutes away from me. She can get down there fast. But do you miss the, have you rested as your travel wings rested as put for a little while? Like, have you kind of eliminated it from your brain the way I have eliminated travel from my brain and said, okay, well, this is what we're doing now. We're doing this. I'm not going to go to the Sahara anymore.
Yeah, well, no, it's a great question. And to be honest with you, I just kind of sort of let it. It wasn't even something that really I cognitively thought about letting go of, if you dig what I'm saying, right? So I was just COVID hit. I'd come off this thing in Siberia. My Arctic expedition was epic. It was totally successful. That was in January. I was stoked I got that done. And I had planned on being in Death Valley and started training as if I was going to Death Valley in July to do a project there, north-south crossing off-road of that between two mountain ranges. I went west to east last year, and a few years ago I went north to south, but I was going to do a slightly different route. And then following up with that, I was supposed to be doing a major expedition in South America over 5,000 kilometers in October. So obviously both those trips are canned due to COVID, but you know,
slash postponed.
Yeah, postponed. Oh yeah, totally postponed for sure. You know, next year kind of thing, right? And I'm looking forward to a big Arctic project that I had initially planned to do. I know this is confusing the order of this, but I planned on doing this big Arctic trip in 2022, and I moved it to 2021, hopefully, instead of what I was going to be doing in October. And so, you know, so that's kind of where I'm like, so I'm kind of like refocused, right? And so I'm training and.
Were you alone though? Going to do that alone? Sorry, Rick, back up for a minute. Because the Arctic is pretty desolate. I would imagine if you could train and go up there, it would be, dare I say,
so that COVID free.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Yeah, yeah. In January. Well, but no.
You never know.
Because Nunavut is closed and the territories are closed because there's just a risk of getting COVID up there. And even I would feel horrible to transmit COVID into communities where I have so many friends. And I mean, it would be a health disaster. And so, you know, I am not concerned at all about having to once again cancel or postpone, even though I am training and preparing like I'm going in February. I have no problem realizing, I mean, this is the situation that we're in, right?
Yeah.
Listen, it was a funny thing, guys. You know, for me, when this happened, and as it did for many people that lost their jobs, when my income went from income, nothing to worry about, to zero, absolute zero, all my businesses. So I do a lot of corporate speaking. I organize a series of ultra marathons in my community in the Gatineau Park. I guide people on expeditions. All of these things shut down and went to zero and no movement and canceled or postponed, as Mercedes said. And
just being positive there.
Yeah, exactly. I could have totally stressed about it, right? But I realized and honestly felt that things will eventually work themselves out. And there's no point in losing sleep and just like totally being stressed about getting the bills paid because they were either going to get paid or they weren't going to get paid. And there was nothing I could do about it. Right. And so anyhow.
I felt similarly. I wasn't like stressed. I was like, well, you know what? It is what it is. The pandemic. It's happening.
You know, and I just worked my ass off on other things, you know? That's what I ended up doing, just working my ass off on other things, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
You pivot.
Yeah. Such a cliche word right now.
Pivot.
What about I like to use the word jive instead of pivot.
You jived.
Jive.
What about putting the in front of it?
The jive.
No, the pivot. Jive. The pivot or the jive. Either one of them works.
I think the jive is like, it's from my generation. Like, I'm the only one here that's 50.
Not too far behind you. Just a few years behind.
You know what?
Not too far behind.
Listen, This is the problem. We put the in front of it. I actually heard somebody the other day call it the Facebook. And I, you know what? And it sounded okay to me to do that. Like, I mean, you know,
Facebook.
The Facebook.
Well, George Bush started that when he started calling it the internets. So anyways, the, it's kind of a, it's a wacky time on that side of it, as far as the pivot, or the jive goes, Mercedes, but, and we're all find a way to adapt. Are you, you're staying healthy though, Ray, Mercedes for sure. Staying healthy. Cause, we're trying to stay healthy and as you said, kind of focus on this eventually going away and easing up so we can get back to somewhat normal life. While I have both of you on here from the standpoint of like actual, your professions and what you're doing, Mercedes, there was a bit of like end of season stuff in Whistler as far as like skiing, snowboarding. Was anybody able to do anything? I know they shut things down, but is there any hope of something opening up that way? And then Ray, to you after Mercedes, as far as like, is there any glimmer of anything that is going to open up in your world before Christmas, say? Go ahead, Mercedes.
So, I'll start. Yeah. End of season. Unfortunately, I got home mid-March, like March 15th or 16th, and the mountain was closed. All the chairlifts were done. Vail closed it. And they did end up opening so that you could tour up. And what that means is you either just hike up in your ski boots or snowboard boots, or you have, a split board or touring skis and you can hike up the mountain on one path, staying, COVIDly friendly apart. And, that happened for probably like 3 weeks and then it closed down. People were kind of taking advantage of it and not being COVID friendly. And now we've just heard that Whistler Blackcomb will be opening, November 26th, but they'll have a reservation system. It's similar to what they've done with the bike park this year, which, seems to have worked. I don't know exactly how it's going to work, this winter on powder days, especially because you have to reserve ahead of time to know what days you're going to be going up the mountain. So it's going to be interesting, but I hope that it's people are going to be able to ski and snowboard and have a good time still.
Ray, what about your world? Is there anything opening up that you can get to, or you got to stay within the country?
Well, you know, we were going to be doing an I2P Impossible to Possible youth expedition, sort of a smaller version of one with a group of youth ambassadors from our foundation in Charlevoix at the end of September. But, you know, right now, as things stand, COVID numbers, like the cases were starting to creep up a little bit again. And we just thought, you know, we're not going to take any chances. We just don't want to. It's just not the time. So we've held off on that, but probably not for me before December. I could see some training trips potentially, and stuff like that to get me ready for my next expedition. But I had 4 client expeditions planned for this fall period: Atacama Desert in Chile, the Bolivian Altiplano, Baffin Island in the Canadian Arctic, etc. And they're all postponed until next year. But here's the upside, is that people are excited to travel again when they can. And so there are a number of people that are so stoked to go on these trips next year. I think we have, at last count, I think we have 35 clients. And remember, we take small groups. So we have 35 clients, you know, for trips ranging from Siberia to Mongolia to these ones in the Atacama Desert. These are remote and difficult trips. And you wouldn't think that there would be that vast a market, right? People don't want to go and do these things, but people are excited. They want to get out. They want to go and explore and do things. And so I'm really excited for next year, to be honest with you. Yeah. And that's sort of where I'm thinking 2021. That's kind of where I've got my hat at right now. And it's keeping me motivated, you know?
Keeping my fingers crossed for that one. I know. I think people are like jonesing to travel, because I am. I know that much.
How many people are sitting in their basement right now going, I'm going to climb Everest when this is done, and I'm going to call Ray. I'm climbing Everest. Fuck it.
I could not believe when we were driving back from Charlevoix back to our place, which is like about a 5-hour drive, there must have been 5 billion RVs on the road going the other way. I could not believe how many people are like, that's like the new I don't know what it's the new thing of. Whatever was the most popular thing in the world before is now RVing. It's crazy.
I did a lot of camping. Exploring. I did a lot of camping this summer. Mercedes, you guys must have been loaded with camping up in Whistler, people coming up to camp.
Well, it's just such a different dynamic of people that are coming to Whistler. It's people that we've never really seen before, in the sense that normally it's like people going up the mountain, hiking, really athletic. And it's changed to, honestly, the other day I saw a family bring out a rice cooker in the park, and they're just like wheeling in all of their food and eating in the parks and then leaving. It's super weird. It's super different. But
it's they're cheap, going to see their own province. Cheap, fast, and easy.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
But you know, well, I mean, listen, the upside, like the total upside, is that people, I think, generally are rediscovering where they live. Mm-hmm. They're getting outside. Hopefully they're following the parameters of, you know, all the health guidelines, yada, yada, yada. But most importantly, like, as long as you're employing the leave no trace method and getting out there and discovering the awesomeness of the Canadian wilderness, I think it's just it's a good thing, right, for people.
I've been exploring my backyard more than I ever have. Everyone's like, have you ever done this hike and this hike? I'm like, nope, haven't seen it, haven't done it. Pretty much snowboarded for 20 years straight.
Yeah.
And now I've been able to like go up mountains that I've never been to just hiking, and it's been really eye-opening and beautiful.
So Mercedes, I'm going to tell you this, and I probably shouldn't, but I'm going to, because you're going to think it's the funniest thing ever. But my daughters and I and their cousins, who are also trail runners, same age, 12 and 9, both our families were like, yeah, you know, we were out, this was a separate trip. We went to Mont Tremblant, and we're like, yeah, let's just go trail running, blah, blah. So, you know, we ran up to the top of the mountain, and then, but they have the gondola there, which I've never been on the gondola at Tremblant. So we actually took the gondola down the mountain.
I respect
instead
that.
Instead of running, right? So
no, I totally mean, respect
we
that.
Ran up the mountain, but then rode the gondola down. And that was like, that was so much fun.
We did that here.
Did you ever get on the
Gross
you just get on the gondola and go around and around and around and around on the gondola? Because I think I can totally do that. If I was a professional snowboarder, I would be in the gondola all the time.
If you come to Whistler, you can do 13 kilometers of it. You can go up Blackcomb, across to Whistler, and then down Whistler, all in gondolas.
Okay, so I've been to Whistler many, many times, usually not in ski season, but I've never been on the gondola. And I have lots of friends in Squamish. And so the
next time I'll have to get you on the gondola.
I'm totally going to have to do that.
Mm-hmm. Actually, you guys should podcast from the gondola.
There's you actually, because you're a hiking man. There's a hike called the Ascent Trail on Blackcomb that you walk up the whole mountain, exactly what you did in Tremblant, but quite a bit higher, to be honest.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, for sure.
How far is that?
I don't know how far it is. It's far. I'll have to fact check that later for you. It's like bottom of Blackcomb to the top, and then you take the gondola down.
That's legit. Nice. That'd be so much fun.
Good on the knees too. Save those.
I love running downhill, but I really liked the perspective. It's amazing. Like I've been on gondolas in the Alps and in the Dolomites, and it's one thing, but it was just really neat to see, like, get that perspective from here in Quebec, in Tremblant. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, it was neat. It was really neat.
You'll want to go on the one that's called the Peak. It's called the Peak to Peak. And then you look down on the trees. There's like one with a glass bottom. And it's a perspective that you've never really seen, like a bird's eye view of the tree. It's really cool.
But that glass bottom would be filled up with my throw up. I wouldn't be able to see the trees because I'm freaking out too much.
Did we just find something that you're like not good with?
Have you seen that thing at the Grand Canyon? It's like a glass bridge that goes out and back.
Yeah.
There's no way I couldn't do that.
I could do that.
I saw something on the internet, speaking of somebody had done one of those, same thing, glass bridge. And maybe this might be in like someplace you've been, Ray, but there's a glass bridge, but it's got like one of those LED lights on it. Mm-hmm. So you can tricked someone that it's breaking and you're going to fall.
Yes.
Oh,
I saw that too.
You saw it, right? And the guys are like,
I saw that thing. Yes.
Freaking out.
It was like a viral video thing.
But it looks like it's like Kathmandu or someplace like that. Like, so I don't know. I thought maybe.
Wait, and it like you push a button and it looks like the glass is breaking.
Yeah. It's got this like effect and everything. It's pretty crazy. So.
And they tape the people. Yeah. They tape the people unsuspecting people having heart attacks, basically, is what they're doing.
Right.
I mean, it's
so as you do, as you do when you're trying to attract people to a giant bridge that will plummet 80,000 feet to your death.
It's super safe. Right? It's breaking.
It's crazy. Right. So I mean, coming back to just like getting into this, I mean, obviously being an adventurer and as you're deemed and all the rest of it. But if someone is literally like adventurous in this regard and they want to kind of follow this path of adventure that you're on or some kind of like explore the world the way you have, what would you tell them to do as far as starting, but like what they really need to be prepped for in the big picture, you know, mentally? Well, I mean, and all the rest
of it. Being an adventurer, I think it just means someone who's, you know, desires knowledge of the world they live in, right? And is very experiential, and you want to go places and see things, and how the terms on how you decide to explore the world, that's sort of what defines the type of adventure that you're going to be or the type of adventure that you're going to do. So I choose to be in really remote places. I love the challenge of navigation. I love being in deserts in the middle of summer and in the Arctic and colder regions of the planet in the middle of winter. I like being there at those times. And look, at first steps, somebody asked me once, you know, how do I start training for a marathon? And the answer is quite simple. Take your first step of walking, right? Everything begins with small steps and small goals. And sooner or later, you pull it all together and you're doing what it is that you want to do. But I'm a big believer in long-term goals, like coming up with an idea, something that you really want to do. And you start living your life towards that goal. You just start to make things happen. I honestly believe that we have the capacity to create our own reality when we're really, you know, when we're working very hard every day and making something happen. It wasn't like honestly, when I started all this, you know, my background, you know, I was a pretty unhealthy guy, two pack a day smoker until I was 30, and you know, no B plan in life, no college degree, nothing. And I just was a very unhappy person. And when I flipped the switch in my own life, thankfully, to my brother John, who inspired me to want to get into the outdoors and try some of the things he was doing, looking for just like a different life and some sort of purpose, I had no idea that it was going to lead me down this road of doing the things that I do now. I was looking for happiness. And it led me eventually from racing mountain bikes and adventure racing to doing ultra marathons. I was never a runner, wasn't my thing. And lo and behold, it became my thing, right? And just one thing begat another. And then I started doing these long expeditions, like the Running the Sahara Project, and I just never looked back. So it wasn't like I said to myself, okay, so turns out I can run pretty far, pretty fast, and looks like this might be a great way to make a living. It wasn't about that with me. So it was just about finding a purpose or something in my life that I was truly passionate about, because I didn't want to, when I was 60, if I made it that far at that point in my life, I wasn't sure, or 70 or whatever, have any regrets in not taking any chances in my life, because I spent so much time in my life not taking any chances and talking myself out of doing things. So to give you a super duper long answer, I would say, you know, just have an idea or a long-term goal in mind, something that you really want to achieve, and commit to it. And when those opportunities arise, little things happen that get you closer to your goal. Don't be afraid to take a chance on them and go for it.
Like, how did you get into your first ultra marathon? I learned what those were.
Yeah, so I read an article. My brother is this amazing runner, and I was racing mountain bikes and doing pretty good, loving it, and I was adventure racing. And my brother and I are very physically different people. He's a tall, sinewy guy. Like, he was exactly what I thought runners were supposed to look like, and I just did not look like that. Anyhow, so when I was racing bikes, I trained on my mountain bike all the time. You know, I took it pretty seriously, and I was racing cross country. And then I moved into 24-hour solos, and I was doing really well at that. And he would go trail running. And then one day I read an article in a magazine about ultramarathons. And I thought, oh, the only reason I read it is I thought, oh, this is something my brother would like. I got to give him this magazine. And it was an article about the Yukon Arctic Ultra. It's a 100-mile race in the Yukon, as the name would indicate. And it takes place in the middle of winter. They have varying distances. You can pick a distance you like. And I picked the 100-mile, 160K, running. And I entered this race after reading this article about it, because in this article, seriously, was people like any person on the street, like normal-looking people were the people that were featured in this magazine article doing this race. And I thought, what the hell? Like, how is it these people think or know that they can do something like this? And I realized in the moment that maybe ultra-distance running was not about, of course, there's a physical aspect, but it's an accepted physical aspect. It's more about your willingness to challenge yourself in some crazy ass way. So I thought, I want to try this and see if I can know about myself what these people know about themselves. And long story short, it was my very first running race ever. I did the 100-mile event and I won it. And against all odds, I'd never won anything physical in my entire life. And I thought, it's impossible that I could have won this thing. Like, I must have took the wrong way, right? Like, I just, but I did. Lo and behold, I did. And I went on, and it sparked in me this, I know you're going to think this is corny, but it sparked in me this true philosophy that human beings underestimate themselves physically, mentally, emotionally. I learned that in that moment. I was like, oh my God, I cannot believe. Like, I went into this crazy zone doing this race. At the first half of the race, I thought, oh, I'm out of here. It's freezing cold. My legs were killing me. There's no way I'm going to complete this thing. What the hell was I thinking? And then in the second half of the race, after almost quitting and dropping out, I said to myself and discovered that all I needed to do was think about what I was going to eat at the end of this race and get down this trail as far as I could and as fast as I could. And everything else gave way. And Mercedes, I felt like one of you elite alpinists, snowboarders that I see on the Olympics, who are like in a deep trance-like state, sort of like weaving back and forth, picturing the course that you're going to go down. Like when I see the downhill skiers and all that, like the Olympics doing that zony thing. Yeah. And I was like,
it's visualizing.
The visualization. So there's that's the sciencey name. So that's what I was doing in this ultra marathon without even realizing I was doing it, but it was like one step ahead all the time. And by the time I finished the race, I had no pain, no fear, felt like $1 million. All I knew is I wanted to feel that way for the rest of my life. And so I entered my next ultra marathon trying to recapture how I did what I did in that race. And that's what led me to where I am today.
Wild. One step at a time, pal.
One step at a time.
Yeah.
Right. Ray, I ran 10 kilometers today for the first time in 4 months and I felt great.
Oh,
there you go.
That's like but a I'm
recovering a bit. I went through the thing.
Where'd you run?
Around my block. And I saw a horse and some cars. And it was quite exciting for me to get that done. But it was my first real run in 10. And I look at that and it's funny, that we're talking now. Cause we're wrapping up travel, obviously, but I've got I got Bill Viggers on the Lifecast coming up, and Bill was with Terry Fox for a marathon. I hope, and just
time.
That one foot in front of the next, hydropole to hydropole. So, I mean, kudos, man, and kudos to obviously you've got it's an amazing thing, and Mercedes' story is just as incredible to me. You guys are super inspiring to be able to do that. I consider myself at Christmas time when Mercedes and I were at the airport to be in the best shape of my life, and then I went, I contracted our friend that took the world down.
Oh, wow.
and I recovered, and that's a whole other thing, but I'm fine. But it was a slow recovery that I from the standpoint of like finally got back out and ran this week. And I'm like, hey, there's 10K. And then Ray's like, and then I ran through the Sahara. And then I ran.
No way.
I did an ultra. And I'm like, I've got some work to do. Get to 15K, buddy.
Listen, I have friends that have won Ironman competitions, and I have friends that have taken the maximum allowable time to do them, you know? And I've always been more impressed by the maximal allowable time because you're on your feet for so long. It's a very relative thing. And, you know, when we do awesome things in our lives, it's incomparable to what anyone else is doing, because you can never, ever, ever express what something means to you. We just don't have the words to express when we feel something. Like Mercedes, you know, whether you're a medalist or you like totally nail this obscure run on some mountain that nobody else knows, and you get to the bottom and you're like, I have been legit trying to do that for years and I just did it, and you're the only person there, but it's like the greatest feeling ever, right? Like, I don't know.
True, yeah.
I think, are you guys a proponent of, like, I mean, okay, we start, or you as athletes start for a reason. Obviously Mercedes, I mean, your first Olympics would have been like the Olympics, but then to do it three more times. And I think it's just such an amazing accomplishment, right? Everything. But I'm also a fan of the journey is the prize. So
100%.
So for me, it's always just about the build. And then if you get the reward at the end, the reward probably is finishing, with the exception of like, maybe it changes depending on like how well you perform before you want to keep moving forward or whatever it is. But I've always been a huge fan of the journey is the prize. You guys both have said separate journeys. Do you feel like every single time you do something, you've won regardless because of the journey that it took you to get there?
Go ahead, Ray.
Sorry, it's so deep. Last time we were four drinks.
You know what? For sure. Listen, I've had some close calls. You know, I went in a river and almost died on an Arctic expedition one time. Could not complete that trip. Another expedition took me 4 years to plan to traverse the Kamchatka Peninsula in far east Russia, way or eastern Siberia. Years, tons of dough. Logistics, timing, planning, visas. Oh my God. It took us so long. And I got there, I was doing it with a teammate, this expedition, and we spent 15 days, the first 15 days of this expedition, burning through 30 days of food because the snow conditions were so horrible. It, you know, with climate change, things had changed completely in this region of Russia that we were trying to cross. And after crossing over this massive and ridiculously precarious mountain range to the other side, to what we felt was going to be our last 150 easy kilometers to get to the East Coast. We were informed by hunters that an early thaw had happened on the edge of these volcanoes, and every one of the rivers that was in this region were open, and the expedition was instantly over in a matter of moments. And I was disappointed for like 5 minutes. And then I reflected on everything that my teammate and I had gone through to get as far as we did. And it was such an incredible experience. And I knew we made the right call and everything else. So I totally agree with you. Like, I mean, there's been so many circumstances where, and I went home and I was happy. I was satisfied. Like, I was honestly not saying I was satisfied to make myself feel better. I was truly and legitimately satisfied with what we had achieved in getting as far as we did, given the conditions that we were up against and everything that we had experienced together. So amazing. I get
That's
it.
Wild. Yeah, no, I'm just like thinking back, and I'm old now, so I get to reflect back on all the things that I did. And honestly, when I was competing, it was just one day at a time, one contest at a time, one training session at a time, just trying to better myself. And then, you know, you don't normally look back. You're on to the next and on to the next. And I think that's just how the four Olympics came to fruition for me. You know, you're always wanting to better yourself. And I think that for Ray, that probably stands true to you too. You do an expedition, you want to do another one, you want to do more, you want to go further. And that's just how it went for me. And I don't, yeah, that's crazy times.
Yeah. And it's amazing. But now you get to a point, right, where, you know, you find it different. Like, it's like you get to a point where you just sort of take perspective on life and where you're at in your life. And with the years that you have still to crank it out and have fun and do things that you love to do, what the priorities are.
Totally. You know what I mean? That's one thing that when you reflect and you learn more, like, especially in a transitional time, like being an athlete, you reflect and you're like, yeah, I really loved that. I was super passionate about that. What am I passionate about now? And you know what? It's still sports for me. Like, I love sports. I'm not going to run with you, Ray, because it's not my jam.
And I'll run with you about 10 kilometers.
I was going to say, I only did 10 kilometers by mistake one time in Toronto and I was dying.
You put a polar bear behind you, you'll run.
Yeah, true.
Ray, I can't thank you enough, Ray. I can't thank you enough for joining us again on this thing. Yes. There's lots to tell. And I want to have you back on the LifeCast. I'm sure Mercedes will have you back on hers when she rolls through. So there's lots more stories to tell. But before we go, I want to talk about your charity for a minute, if you don't mind letting us know what's going on with.
Okay, with that. So with Impossible Possible, we've done 15 youth-based expeditions to date to places like the Amazon jungle, the Canadian Arctic, Bolivia, India, et cetera. And what essentially we do with Impossible to Possible is take young people, we call them youth ambassadors, 16 to 21 years of age, on learning-based expeditions that are a week to 10 days around the world. So for example, going into the Amazon jungle of Brazil or Peru and studying ecosystem services or climate change or biodiversity, and learning from the indigenous people in the areas that we're in about these issues and perspectives on these issues, and then sharing it through curriculum that is uploaded every day live by satellite to thousands of students around the world. And the program is 100% free. So obviously we've been affected by COVID. We've had multiple cancellations this year, but we're aiming for a really great year next year. And the youth ambassadors that we had selected this year, we're gonna be taking next year. But after that, we'll open up our selection process again, and kids from all over the world come. It's amazing. It's just such an amazing thing. We love it.
Can people donate online?
They can. So impossibletopossible.com. There is a donation button, I believe, at the top of the website, and or they can contact me. I have a website, just my name, rayzahab.com. There's links to all my social media, and I'm easily accessible that way, and I can direct any donations or questions or volunteer time or whatever anyone wants to do, I can answer their questions.
It's excellent. It's a great time to plan your 21 with Ray around the world. I mean, he's already booked up, it sounds like, but we have to push it to 22 now. I'm not sure, but it's, definitely donate if you can, and follow Ray online. I can't thank you enough for joining us, man. That was really great of you to jump back on after I totally screwed up the first one. So here we are. And Mercedes, hey, here we are again, wrapping up travel. So thanks for making time today as well, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
Anything at the end here, Ray, that you want to leave our listeners with? And then we'll let you go, buddy.
No, that's great. I just, thank you all and so much for having me on. And stick around for a comment. I want to talk to you after you're done recording. So, for everybody out there, if you ever have any questions or you want to reach out, I'm easy to get. You have my website, and I get tons of questions about how to get started doing anything, even if it's your first run, whatever. I'm always around. I always answer everyone. I get around to it eventually.
I'll call you about running.
Do it.
And then I'll call Mercedes about running after she calls you about running.
I'm going to call Mercedes about snowboarding. That's what I'm going to do.
There we go. Yes.
Swap
out.
That's amazing, Ray. Right. Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon, dude.
Okay. Catch you later.
Come on a journey like no other, where you will discover many roads that will lead you to a happier, healthier, and more stress-free life. And the beauty is, you don't need any vacation time for this adventure. The journey will come to you. Join Avery Rich on your very own journey into yoga. Along the way, she will demystify yoga poses and guide you into a yoga posture or short sequence, all in less than 15 minutes. You have nothing to lose but stress. The Journey into Yoga podcast. It's not for people who like yoga, it's for people who don't like yoga. Follow or subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at averyrich.com.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of five podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jag and Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.